Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast on this 10th of May 2017 as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram page at William Gerald Quinn. A busy night in the DMV. A night to forget for a couple of playoff teams. One still has a game to play Friday night with the Wizards, but one has been sent home packing by a familiar foe for the, you know, who knows, the umpteenth time in their history, and that is of course the Washington Capitals. And that's where we will begin, because the Wizards game, you know, not too much to talk about. We'll get to the Wizards, but this is about the Caps, because I was, you know, as a Pittsburgh Penguins fan of 25 years, pretty confident in what was going to happen tonight. After game five, after game six, I was talking to another Pittsburgh Penguins fan. It came out flat. Fleury was awful, 5 goals. But the problem with that game from a capital standpoint, and I thought about this at the end of that game, is those 2 goals at the end of that game were big for Pittsburgh. Now, you don't look at it, you know, normally you think in a 5-0 game, you've already clinched game 7, you're on the cusp of this great comeback from being down 3 games. You go from 3-1 to 3-3 before you blink your eyes. So, you know, you're up 5-0. They scored 2 late goals. Big deal. Those 2 goals are big for Pittsburgh, right? Because clearly they carry that into this game 7. And, you know, for the Capitals, and excuse my voice, I have a cold here. So you can excuse how I'm speaking in terms of my voice. I have a cold, apologize. But for the Capitals, you know, it's not about talent. It's not about, you want to say, coaching. This thing is psychological for the Capitals. I mean, it's mental. Like, you can't tell me that the Capitals don't have a Stanley Cup caliber roster from a talent standpoint. From a talent standpoint, just on sheer talent. When you look at Ovechkin, Backstrom, TJ Oshie, you know, guys like that. Shattenkirk, who had, you know, had a pretty good postseason. So it's not about talent. Melrose was on, watching Barry Melrose, who I normally watch after these NHL playoff games to get his take on what's going on. And he nailed it. This team needs a shakeup, and not a minor shakeup, not a shakeup to, you know, fourth line, fifth line. Like, they need a big time shakeup. And, you know, Levy basically said, you know, should they move Ovechkin? And Melrose kind of dismissed it. But to me, at this point, if I'm in that Capitals front office, everything is on the table. Like, for the right deal, would I move Ovechkin? Yes. Yes, I would. Because you're not winning with him. He's not getting any younger. Now, he's still a very productive player. Still, you know, a top scorer in this league. But let's be honest, tonight I'm watching the game, and I forgot he was on the court. I forgot he was on the ice. I was like, I'm thinking to myself, is he hurt? Did I miss something? Because I missed the first 6 minutes of the first period. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, did an injury occur that I just missed, that I missed when I missed part of the first period? You literally forgot that he was on the ice. Now, in the Yarborough series, you know, with being demoted to the third line and what have you, but this is your franchise player in a game seven, and you forget that he's on the ice if you're watching, if you are watching the game. Crosby, Malkin, both were not spectacular in this game, but you both, but you, you know, if you're watching the game, you felt their presence in watching the game. You, they impacted the game with their play, despite not scoring. Maybe one of them had assists, you know, assists on the assists, but neither one of them scored goals. But again, you knew they were on the ice, especially Crosby. You know, and again, and that's the problem. Therein lies the problem with the Capitals. They are a the epitome of a bully team. When things are rolling, they're scoring goals, they look like the greatest team ever. You know, they'll blow you out. But in a game like this, when things get tight, when you need, you know, when you need role players to block shots, you know, to knock a guy down, to do those intangible things that win hockey games, that win Stanley Cups, they don't have those players. And that's the difference between them and a Pittsburgh team that can get a goal from a Rust or Hornquist in a game seven and not have their two best players basically not be factors and still win a game basically going away. So, you know, moving forward, if you're the Washington Capitals brass, they have got to make not one, but two or three moves to shake up this team. You can't come back. You can't come back with this same core and say, you know what, one day we'll knock the wall down. Because Pittsburgh's not going anywhere. They're young. They have players. You know, Crosby is still by far and away the best player in the world. They're not going anywhere. And they had think about the series. Seriously, Pittsburgh had guys hurt. I mean, no Trevor Daly, no Letang. They had guys, they had key, good players. They had about at least three or four players missing. So this was as good an opportunity as the Capitals were going to have. If they were going to beat Pittsburgh in any year, it would have been this year. Okay, this year. So, again, if you... You know, I'm not gonna call it a choke job. I think that's an easy. I think Pittsburgh is probably all around a better team. So I'm not gonna call this a choke job. Like the, you know, people around the D.C. area tomorrow morning, you wake up, you get on the metro and get on a train, you'll hear chokers and stuff like that. This wasn't a choke job. The better team flat out won. Sometimes, I mean, in more times than not, a 7-game series, the better team is gonna win. NHL, you know, can go either way. With, you know, in terms of talent, but Pittsburgh flat out is a better team because they have players that do intangible things that win championships, and that's why they are the defending Stanley Cup champions, and that's why you have a Washington Capitals team that has yet in the Alex Ovechkin era to get past the second round. And again, if you are the Capitals, you're running that franchise, I'm not saying you should fire the coach. I'm not saying you should trade Ovechkin. But you have to shake something up. You cannot come back. You cannot stand pat moving forward. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this kind of semi-edition of the podcast. We're only going for about half hour this evening as we look forward to the NBA playoffs tomorrow night, Houston, San Antonio. But when we return, we'll talk about the no-show in Boston as the Wizards just disappeared. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. 40 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this edition. It's an abbreviated edition of the podcast. Capitals go down 2-0 at Verizon. And how sick do you have to be if you're a Capitals fan right now? And I ran to, the Capitals fans at work were so, today, they were so happy. This was going to be their one, and I told them, calm down. Do you understand your team's history? Do you understand the team that you've been rooting for the past 15, 20, 30 years? Do you understand they haven't been in the Stanley Cup since 1998? And do you understand who they're playing? Calm down. And I guess this is worse. This is probably worse than losing in five. I mean, they might as well, it sounds crazy, but, if you lose in five, it's just like, hey, we just got our asses kicked. To come back and lose game seven at home in front of your home fans, it's a bitter pill to swallow, to say the least. And it will be a long, long summer for the Washington Capitals. A long summer. As far as the Wizards goes, and the Wizards did one good thing right. They allowed me to focus my attention on the Capitals, because that game was over maybe after the national anthem. I mean, to go in a game five with the series tied at two, coming off two, dominating performances for the most part, and to just absolutely be flat as a pancake, I don't know what to say if you're rooting for the Washington, if you're a Wizards fan. I'm looking at the game. I saw enough of it to get a feel of how the game was going. And, it looked like, Boston looked like a team that was down 2-0 and had to win the game to extend the season. Wizards came out there like a team that was up 3-1 or up 2-0 that had felt like they had a game to play with. I mean, the Wizards played this it was a preseason game. I don't completely understand their mental makeup going into the game. I'm a little bit confused by some of the John Wall comments I saw post game, where he says, they made adjustments. They caught a couple of things caused by surprise. And I'm like, this is game five. Okay, you played this team now four times coming into this game. Eight times if you count the regular season. They play the conference. There's really nothing at this point that they should be doing that should surprise you. Because at this point in the series, it's May 10th. Okay, at this point in the season and point in the series, it's about execution and effort. Now, there's only so many adjustments you can make in a series. There really is. There are adjustments that can be made, but there are only so many before teams just after, because everybody knows everybody's plays, and especially their favorite plays. They know tendencies. They got guys who have analytics. They have advanced scouts. Everybody, there's no secrets amongst these teams, especially when you get down to the final, six or seven teams, six teams left in the playoffs. There's six teams left in the playoffs right now, with Utah and Toronto being gone. So, I was kind of confused by, some of the John Wall comments in the post game about, they surprised us a little bit. Now, the flip side is, assuming that the Wizards actually come to play Friday night, considering that their season will be on the line, I want to see Avery Bradley score 25 points again. From a strategic standpoint, I'd much rather make Isaiah Thomas a facilitator than go out there and have him score 50 points or 45 points. Let me see him be efficient. Let me see him get 10, 12, 13 assists. I want to see that again. Let me see Avery Bradley score 25 points. So from that standpoint, well, 25 and a half, he had 29 for the game. So from that standpoint, I think if you're the Wizards, and I think Wizards will win game six, and I think they'll win it going away, to be honest with you. That's how this series has gone, and that's how these home games have gone for these two teams during over the course of the season. Like they each other they destroyed each other on each other's home floor. So I do expect there to be a game seven Sunday afternoon, and in Boston. But and again, that's another thing. To me, when it's 2-2 in a series and you are the road team, I've always felt that game five is the easier game to steal versus a game seven. Now we've seen, listen, Cleveland did it last year. They had LeBron James. Pittsburgh did it, you know, a couple years ago in hockey. They have Sidney Crosby. The Cubs did it to Cleveland last year in the World Series. It rarely happens, though, that you win a game seven on the road in the NBA. It doesn't happen at all in the NBA. The Clippers are the Clippers. I mean, that's what the Clippers do. They find ways to do stuff that's not supposed to happen. So if you're trying to steal a game, game five is the game that you should try to steal. Again, the reason why Boston, there are two reasons why Boston came out the way they came out. Number one, they were embarrassed in game four, coming off two straight losses. So naturally there's a sense of desperation. But number two, they know in the back of their minds, if they lose this game, that this series probably is over. Like they're not gonna come out and say that. But they, you know, don't think that wasn't going through their minds over the course of the last on Monday and Tuesday. They played on Monday and Tuesday, had a couple of days off between games. So there was no question that Boston wanted this game more than the Wizards. And I think at this point in the postseason and at this point in the series, that should not be the case. Again, embarrassing performance for the Washington Wizards. We'll see if they can bounce back in game six at home, where again they've been great over the course of the season. They've dominated Boston over the course of the season. But you know, when teams are down 3-2 at home in the game sixes, a lot of these series get closed out on the road for a reason, because you know the home team gets tight, the crowd gets antsy, and you felt it. I wasn't at the game at Verizon, but you felt it with the Capitals in this game against Pittsburgh. Like, the fans were tight as a drum after Pittsburgh scored that first goal. And I thought that was, like, for Pittsburgh, you're a road team in the NHL, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You scored that first goal. That was big for Pittsburgh. And it really was, because it just carried over the momentum they had previously from game six. So, you know, I expect the Wizards to win, but there's a lot of pressure when you're at home trying to stave off elimination. Boston, come on, Boston's not gonna lay down. I guarantee you, Boston will not play like the Wizards played tonight. Boston will fight. And again, they fought in game four. Before the Wizards, I mean, that was a close game before the Wizards, you know, ran away in that third quarter, you know, the 26-0 run. So Boston's not going to lay down and just say, hey, we have a game seven at home in our back pockets. That's not going to happen. If the Wizards think they're going to do that, they're going to be going home for the summer. Boston is going to fight come Friday night. As far as last night goes, with the Houston San Antonio, again, we finally in the conference semifinals get a classic. Again, it was a great game from start to finish. San Antonio showed you why they are who they are. When you have a culture and the infrastructure of that culture is so powerful, you can lose a superstar player and still win the game. Okay? And mind you, you're playing without your starting point guard. Because the foundation of their infrastructure is so strong that they don't they're not dependent on great individual talent. It's not how they that's not how they were built. That win was a win that's been 20 years in the making. Okay, 20 years since Greg Popovich, you know, Greg Popovich became the coach full time. Tim Duncan drafted. That is 20 years of brilliance from the San Antonio Spurs. And you saw it in that win. You saw Ginobili having a turn back the clock game. You saw, you know, this, you know, Simmons, this dude who is he? You know, has some athleticism, is up there basically stripping James Harden, you know, like James Harden was a rookie or something. You know, you see the point guard, Murray, have, you know, have moments. So again, the San Antonio is going to win that series, probably in seven. I think Houston will have a big game tomorrow and extend it to seven. But the bottom line is the San Antonio infrastructure and their culture will win out more times than not. And I think Houston on paper is probably better. They certainly, you know, looked the part in game one, but San Antonio's experience, San Antonio's execution, Houston has a problem in late game situations. Again, they are a bully team too. When they're blowing you out is one thing, when they're knocking down threes, but when it comes down to crunch time, tie game, one possession game, they've had issues in the postseason, especially in this series with late game execution. Harden, you know, was bad in the overtime. I know he had a triple double, and you know he was playing. First half he was unconscious in the first half, but had a bad overtime period. Had a bad overtime. Did good, pretty good fourth quarter, but a horrible overtime. You just can't be the point guard and turn over the ball 9 times in the playoff game. I understand he has the ball, you know, basically 90% of the time. I understand that he, you know, probably has went out of his way to get his teammates the ball, but you cannot turn the ball over 9 times in a playoff game and be the starting point guard. It just can't happen. I mean, no player should have 9 turnovers in a game. I don't care what position they play, let alone your starting point guard. So, Houston, San Antonio guts out a victory. I'm thinking Kawhi Leonard probably will play. I would take the safe route, to be honest with you, and I would sit him game 6 and get ready for game 7. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. Ankles can be tricky. He is a franchise player. We're not risking, like, you know, career-threatening injury or something like that, like it would be a knee or something. But you do have a game in your back pocket. I mean, you know that you're guaranteed to play another game regardless of the outcome tomorrow night, game 7 at home. So I think he'll probably play. You know, you might see a scenario where if he does play and it's not effective, well, Popovich will probably, you know, will give him the quick hook. So we've seen that. we've seen that with Popovich not hesitating to use his roster use everybody on his roster over the course, especially in a playoff game. And again, you can knock Popovich if you want. When he's resting players in a regular season, he's not just resting his stars or his great players just to keep them fresh. He's also developing his bench and developing talent, his guys, for moments like game five, when Kawhi Leonard goes out, if a Tony Parker gets hurt, when you have to depend on those younger players or those players who you never heard of. The Spurs always come out in the playoffs with a player that we barely have heard of and the guy produces. Always. That's what the San Antonio Spurs do. So we'll see what happens. I think we're going to see a game 7 more than likely, as Golden State and Cleveland just await the winners of these respective series. Again, a lot of talk lately about how has it been for Golden State and Cleveland. Are they too good? Is this good for the game? And what have you. And I'll say this. Listen, Golden State Cleveland series this year will be epic. That'll be one for the books. It'll be an all-time classic to see those two, these, the iconic player versus a potentially iconic team. Kevin Durant, Curry, that, you know, all those subplots, Mike Brown. So there'll be a lot to chew on with the finals. The problem is, it's not until June 1st. So that is their lot, you know, which is basically 3 weeks away, 3 weeks from tomorrow to be exact. But there lies the issue with the NBA right now, that you have two teams that are just so superior that it's rendered these NBA playoffs basically, I won't say meaningless, but tough to watch at times. There's been a lot of blowouts and a lot of meaningless games where you know this team cannot compete for a championship, or this team cannot even get to the finals because of the presence of Golden State in Cleveland. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll wrap it up when we return on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Very anxious to get the feel of the city about the Capitals tomorrow. I mean, I kind of already know what the narrative is going to be. Everybody's going to blame Ovechkin. Everybody's going to blame Trotz. They're going to, you know, people are going to be saying trade this guy, trade that guy, fire this guy, fire that guy. Choke. I don't think this was not a choke job. First of all, they were down 3-1. It's not like they were up 3-0 or up 3-1 or up 2-0. They were playing come from behind basically from the opening puck drop in game one. Remember, they're down 2-0, they're down 3-1. They were behind the eight ball the entire series. So I give them a little credit, not a lot, for getting to a game seven. I give them a little credit. But You can't be as good or as great as they've been in the regular season and come up that small in the playoffs year after year after year after year after year. At some point, something's got to give with the personnel, coaching, or something has got to give with the direction of that franchise moving forward. Again, you cannot keep coming up short time after time and not make a major move, major moves in the offseason. The Capitals are going to have to look like almost a completely different hockey club next fall. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you this weekend. Well, at least the Nationals won. Nationals won a game in the bottom of the ninth inning, 7-6. So, you know, we had that for the DMV. Again, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Again, as always, catch us on iTunes. Look up Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. You can click on the stars, rate or review the show. Always, you can catch us on blogtalkradio.com/CyrilQuinn. I will see you next time. So long.